Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now let's go into the service for today's message.
Hey, Gateway family, I hope you're being blessed so far by the service today. Now, since I'm not there in person, I just wanted to send out a special warm aloha to all my Gateway peeps and also introduce our speaker for this morning. I'm saying aloha because this past week, Kathy and I had the honor for the 14th straight year of co-hosting the International Apostolic Leadership Conference right here in the city of Honolulu. It's a great conference, about 80 international leaders being strengthened for 3 days together. And it's just another way that we as a church, we as a family, are reaching out to inspire transformed lives. Now, having finished with that big event, Kathy and I are now headed to the island of Kauai, preaching for 3 days at Grace Bible Church, Kauai. Then we're gonna take a few days off, 2 or 3 days off, to catch our breath and celebrate our 32nd wedding anniversary before we head home this Friday. Wow, I mean, it's been a busy time, but I know you don't feel sorry for me when you're speaking from Hawaii. I get that. So just pray for us and we'll praise God for you. All right. Now today, we're gonna be blessed to have Pastor Scott Abke as our speaker. Scott and his wife, Janet, have been serving the Lord as pastors and prophetic voices for many years, having been close friends of Kathy and I for a long time, then recently have come along with their amazing daughter, Whitney, to become a part of our Gateway family. So we're really happy about that. And each of them lead and bless and move in the power of the Holy Spirit through their preaching and prophecy and music. So get ready for a blessing. You're gonna be blessed. Gateway, Kathy and I really, truly love each and every one of you. Let me just remind you, you are God's very own, and 2014 is your year of increase and peace and prosperity. Amen? Amen. Now, Scott and Janet, thanks for your ministry to us. You're mighty servants of God. I really love you. And Gateway, we'll see you next Sunday. Now let's welcome Scott, Janet, and Whitney Abke to the platform. God bless you guys.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. It makes preaching just that much easier. I have a great expectation in my spirit this morning. We had an awesome, at least I had an awesome time in the 9 o'clock service, but God's presence is here. That's no new thing. This is a church where you can encounter God's presence, and I'm not saying that as one of the staff. I'm saying that as a member. So that's just free publicity. John, you can pay me later. That $5, that, okay. Anyway, I wasn't quite sure. I appreciated David's very thoughtful video. He invited me to speak and invited us to sing, and then he left town. I'm not sure how to take that. And I don't want to make any assumptions because I might be right. Who knows? Janet and I are just really blessed, and Whitney as well, to be part of Gateway. It's wonderful because we are in ministry and itinerating now, to be able to come on the weeks that we're not somewhere else ministering, to come and just sit and be Scott and Janet and enjoy the service, and it's wonderful. We love it. It's a great, great church. I've been a fan of this church for years, but pastoring another one, you know, so it's kind of a conundrum. What can you do? But always said, when people were saying, I'm looking for a good church, this part of town, Gateway's the place, because this church has been healthy, and it's been spiritually active and vibrant, and fivefold ministry being released here, and it's wonderful as well, being traveling minister, to know you have a church that gets what you do. And so thank you for your prayers for us as we endeavor to serve the Lord. The word that I have for you this morning, really, to me, is it's a message that God has given me, actually what I thought I was going to speak on. At the beginning of the week, just sort of morphed 2 or 3 times until I got to this message. And I want to speak to you this morning on a topic that I'm entitling based on a question: who are you? You might have an immediate answer to that. Who are you? But I want to talk to you about that, the answer to this question, in the context of the search for identity and purpose. It's a simple question. Matter of fact, I've got 3 questions for you, and they're simple questions, maybe obvious questions, but wow, the answers can be incredible. So I'm going to ask you three questions and hopefully provide you with more answers than questions by the time I'm done. The first question, of course, is who are you? The second question is what do you possess? And the third question is what can you accomplish? Now, your destiny is in God. You will never realize your full potential as a person, as a believer, as a business person, a teacher, a mom, a dad, whatever your role in life might be. You can never fully achieve that purpose unless it is divinely anointed by the presence of God in your life. And there is anointing and enablement available for you for whatever you do. Sometimes we struggle with this sense of dualism, dualistic thinking. Like, I'm in the presence of God, now I'm out. On Sunday, I'm in church and I'm spiritual, but on Monday, I love this for years, John, people have told me this as a pastor, but pastor, on Monday, I live in the real world. Well, I grabbed a hold of the stuff around me and it's real too. Have a Monday with a pastor, you'll get that. We all live in the real world. But let me tell you, we, as the scripture teaches us, we don't walk by what we can see or what we can hear. We walk by faith, not by sight. And so there's something in us as believers, and I believe for this unique time where God has us now, there is something that God wants to say to us as believers, that if you're going to accomplish what I have available for you in this season, you're going to have to see differently than you've been seeing. Now, we're at the beginning of a new calendar year. It's 2014. And it just sort of naturally produces a time when we hopefully get a little reflective. What are we doing with our lives? What do we want to do with our lives? What have we done with our life that we'd rather change? What have we not done yet that we want to accomplish? And I want to minister to you this morning, and this is why I'm asking the Lord for a prophetic anointing, because as I'm speaking, I'm asking the Spirit of God to awaken some things in you. Because I just know by the Spirit of the Lord, I'm talking to some people who have had some dreams that have died in them. There are some prophetic promises that haven't yet come to pass. And what do we do when that happens? We say, well, must have been a false prophet, bad word. Maybe I didn't hear God. Maybe God doesn't feel just as good about me now as he did when he gave me that word. None of that is true. Destiny is destiny is destiny is destiny. It never changes. Hallelujah. And you can walk into things now that seem long past due, and you can receive the inheritance. How do I know that? Hebrews chapter 4 tells me that the promise still remains. How long did God wait? Thank you for that one amen. I should explain, I preach much, much longer when you're quiet. So, hallelujah, that always, yeah. Well, based on that, I've got to finish now. So, that was enthusiastic. Thank you. What was I preaching about? Oh, I remember. When you come into a new season, a new year, you are just automatically thinking about, what do I want to accomplish this year? What did I not accomplish last year? And then you have the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. And sometimes, I don't know if you've ever had God do this, but every once in a while, he will say something to you that's well beyond your understanding. And you think, you know, God, I think you missed on that one. That was for the person sitting next to me, because I know they can do that. But you must have an off day, God, on that prophetic thing. But no, when he speaks to you, he knows exactly who he's talking to. And I know this morning I'm talking to some people with some dead dreams, some people who are discouraged because it hasn't turned out like you thought it would turn out. But you're not finished yet. You're not done yet. It's a new season. It's a new time. The Lord's declared it in his word. You can read it again in the book of Isaiah. Behold, behold, I do a new thing, says the Lord. And let me tell you what, you need even some new anointing for some old assignments. For those of you who don't want me on a new kick too long. But I want to just, you know, prophetic ministry is about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. So, I apologize in advance, but it's not going to stop me. You know, there are times we need a little irritation. It's the sand in the oyster shell rubbing and irritating over time that produces the pearl. And I'm preaching to myself this morning too, you might be glad to know. is when I was getting this ready, the Lord actually spoke to me and he said, there's this one area of your life, very powerful, it has to do with my physical health, because I've been dragging a body around for years that didn't want to cooperate with what God called me to do. Amen from somebody out there, yeah? I haven't let that stop me. But you know, God showed me very clearly at one time my future, and in my future I saw myself completely whole. I was looking good. So there's some work to do. And the Lord spoke to me and said, you've settled for good. You've settled for better. But I'm not finished with you yet. And he showed me those pictures again. I'm like, yeah, you're right, God. I settled for good because good was so much better than where I was when he started. But don't let good rob you from God's best. I should read a passage of scripture to make this official, shouldn't I? Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And while you're looking, let me just ask you these questions. And let me just say something to you in terms of clarity for the word I want to share with you. The reason I'm asking this question is, who are you? What do you possess? What can you accomplish? It's this. It goes right back to identity, because if you don't know who you are, then you don't know what belongs to you. You don't know what you have. And if you don't know what you have, you don't know what you can do. So you need to know who you are, because once you know who you are, you know what belongs to you. And when you know what belongs to you, you know what you're supposed to do. Amen? Let's read it. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 out of the New King James. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Read it with me. Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. How many blessings was that? Every. How much is every? That's good. What do you need? It's there. It's available. Every spiritual blessing. Sorry, I just had to stop there a second. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us, I like to say predestined us, to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. And then we move on to verse 15. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, listen now, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Anybody use that this morning? To give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being opened. Hallelujah. So that you may, what? Know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand, at his right hand, excuse me, in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Amen. Can I just say to you, what's contained, the promises contained in those few verses are enough to get you through a lifetime? Amen. Every spiritual blessing. And this is my prayer for you, my prayer for me this morning, that the eyes of your understanding would be opened so that you may know. Because here's what I know about you. I may not have met you personally, but you just know what you know right now. You don't know what you don't know. I'm pausing while you write that profound truth, letting the applause die down. You know what you know, but you don't know what you don't know. And there's some God stuff in the what part that you don't know yet. Have you ever had the Spirit of God begin to deal with you and you're asking him what? What? He's not working on what, he's working on who. He's talking to you about your identity. He's reorienting you to see yourself differently. You see, here's what I know about the enemy. The enemy wants to trap you in your past, so that you cannot achieve your God-given destiny. He wants to take you back to things that happened years ago. I've had the privilege over the years, 30 years of ministry now, I've laid my hands on thousands of people, and people come in, Pastor Scott, you remember the prophecy you gave me in 1989 when you said, like, I believe you, but, and sometimes, thank God, it's always encouraging when, oh yeah, I do remember that. That's a good sign. But, you know, people come and I will pray with them and find out that the key thing that's been holding them back is something that mama or daddy said 30 years ago. And they probably didn't even know they were saying anything. It just kind of came out of their mouth, but it hit you in your spirit, it hit you in your soul, and caused a wound, and it stopped you from moving into the fullness of what God has for you. Maybe it's a past failure. Somebody said to me at the end of the service, you know, sometimes success is an enemy too. That's true. Our past successes can limit us because we think that's the best we can do. And God said, you ain't seen nothing yet. There's more. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, there's more. There's more. There's more. In spite of all the good you've seen, no matter how long you've seen it for, and no matter how amazing it might be, there's more. Hallelujah. Who are you? There was this group. I'm not old enough to remember this, but cast that lying spirit out of me. Sorry. There was this group that years ago used to sing this song. Who are you? Who? You're about to do it. I heard some of you are about to. Now, the confusing part is this song is sung by a group called The Who. Talk about an identity crisis. I wonder if there's a second verse. Where am I? Where? I don't know. Some of the stories I've heard about those guys is probably true, but it has nothing to do with my message. I just wanted to say that. Have you ever been asked the question, who are you? Who are you? Well, I'm asking you now, so yes, you have. Who are you? What defines you? Who defines you? Past failure? Something a boss did? Something that happened in a relationship? Something your wife said, your husband said, friend said? You know, these things sometimes have a way of capping us, but I just want to tell you today, I'm not making light of how painful the experience might be that's limited you. I am here to tell you that Holy Spirit is present to remove the limitation so that you can move on. And let me tell you what, He can get you right up into time in just a nanosecond because He doesn't deal in time like we do. He's eternal. And He can bring you to your now, right now. Come on, say amen, somebody, because I'm telling you the truth. One of the most predictable and common devices of the enemy is to attack your identity, to cause you to question yourself, to attempt to trap you in your past. But the reason for this is, I really believe, is that the most powerful form of spiritual warfare on the planet is when you and I step into, based on relationship, step into our destiny and obediently walk out what God has called us to do. We don't even have to rebuke anything. Buke or rebuke, because you can't rebuke what hasn't been buked. That's very profound. Just think about that. You have to understand. You have to understand that, you see, the enemy works on this plane of trying to intimidate you in your mind, trying to limit your thoughts, try to bring circumstances around you that will keep you from your future, because he knows if you step into it, if you start to do it, if you taste it, if you hear it, if you see it, the battle's over. I'm not saying there won't be some scuffle, you know, some scuffs along the way, some competing with the enemy. I'm not saying there isn't sometimes the resistance, but the battle, the call of the battle, whether there's victory or defeat, that's already been settled. And if he can get you convinced that the battle's not over, then the battle's not over. Scripture says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And when you think of yourself as a failure, when you think of yourself as limited, when you think of yourself as if only I had made another choice, it's a limitation that Satan wants to use against you. But Holy Spirit is present in this service right now to obliterate those kind of bondages, to break it off of you, and to open the eyes of your understanding so that you may know what is the hope of your calling. Hallelujah. I feel that one. Woo. Jesus. New seasons carry new identity. So if you're going to step into 2014, you got to step out of 2013. I have a friend of mine who had, and he's a man of faith, but he had a tough 2013, and he was saying in November, I cannot wait for this year to end because I just want to be in a new place. We walk through seasons that are difficult, but I'm also here to tell you that the harder the enemy is working to discourage you, the more obvious it is that God has something awesome for you. You see, Satan, he doesn't have access to everything, but when something gets passed to us, when a word gets released, when a promise is sent, he sees that and he tries to stop it before it's time to keep you out of what God has for you. So he works on that basis of intimidation and the smoke in the mirrors. But he knows without any question, if you step fully confident in who God has made you to be, confident that it's not based on your own works, not based on your own righteousness, but based on who God has made you to be through his Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross where he made you who once were dead in your trespasses and sins, the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Wow. He can't do anything about the cross. It's over. It's over. That may be a fixture here for a while. Yeah. Hallelujah. John, early this morning, I woke up and had you on my heart. And the Lord told me to tell you that you are coming into a season of blossoming. Like you have been in a good place, but it's I saw it like the rose. You know, the bud is beautiful when you see one. But when that thing begins to open, there's a glory and an expression there. And you're coming into a season because you've been tested and tried and you've been faithful. And God has said, you know, not like the old story, meeny, meeny, tickle, you farson, but you have been tried and found favorable in God. And so there's a blossoming of ministry that's just going to begin to pour out of you. Some of it on areas you're already doing, but it's just going to pour forth like a fountain. You're stepping into it because you've passed the test. Amen? Amen. Pardon John and I while we have a moment there. Did I see Nicole? Nicole. He also said to me, there's in this season available to you another level of intimacy in the presence of God. You have felt it coming, but he's saying it's about to open to you. As before you press into the third to fourth month of this year, you're going to find yourself in a whole new place of understanding some things about God. And that's important not only for you, not just because of what you do, but because of some things that are in you that God is putting a demand on uniquely in this season. And much of it is song that will carry a revelation of who God is that will be unlike anything you've written to date. A new season of intimacy. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Somebody wants to know why am I prophesying over the staff? Because they minister all the time. Amen. Don't ask me how I know after 30 years of pastoring. But you have a gifted staff, a staff that loves God. And so glad to see Pastor Gary here and to see him doing so much better. Not over till it's over, huh? Thus saith Yogi Berra. New seasons come with new identity. So the reason God wants to get your attention on the new thing is because he wants you to, first of all, understand it's there. You may not see it fully. You may see a flash. You may see a picture. You may get an inkling this morning, but you're probably not going to see the whole thing. But God does want you to know it's there. He does want you to know it's there. I say this a lot. I said it in the 9 o'clock service, but I've discovered that God loves to play hide and seek. Anybody think, yeah, he's playing that right now, and I'm looking. You know why he loves to play hide and seek? Sometimes he's developing a little bit of a desire in you. Sometimes he just wants to see, or he wants you to see, how much desire there is to step in to the new thing. But the main reason he plays hide and seek is because he loves to be found. So if he's gotten quiet, don't worry, you'll hear him speak. If you can't see him, don't worry, you'll find him. He loves to be found, and he will soon make himself obvious to you, and you will know, thank you, Father, you've not abandoned me. Don't take it as rejection when God gets quiet. Take it as preparation. It's strategic. God stopped talking because he doesn't want the enemy informed about what he's going to do. But suddenly, before the enemy can respond, the word of the Lord will come and you will be charged with something new in this new season, and the enemy will not be able to stop it. Glory to God. Glory to God. It's time for us to raise the eyes of our faith off of the horizon of our current circumstances. And you know when that gets difficult? When you've been in them for a while. This is the way it's been for me. You feel like you're on a treadmill of defeat. And you can't quite reach the control to hit the stop button. But Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit is here to give you that sense of purpose, to encourage you, and to understand if it's taken so long, it must be something well worth waiting for. When you find it, when the gem arrives, you're going to say, thank you, God. Thank you. There is some contending in our faith. I would love it. Somebody gave me a couple Christmases ago because I was preaching about this. I love the easy button. Wouldn't you like to be in some circumstances and, that was easy. Cancer? That was easy. Spinal damage? That was easy. Bankruptcy? That was easy. Disappointment? That was easy, no problem. Wouldn't it be great to have that button? Amen. Somebody gave me one. I pressed it and all it did is make noise. It was a false prophet. That was easy. He didn't change a thing. Wore the battery out. Come on. Easy has got to come somewhere, sometime. This is what I know about the Spirit of God. This is what I know about the Spirit of God. You can get to such a place in God that it feels easy even though you're in the struggle of your life. Because you're not walking in your own power. You're not walking in your own strength. You're walking in something that's supernatural. Hallelujah. I almost preached ahead of myself there. And I got these valuable notes that I don't want to mess up. I do know this. It's time for you, time for me, to step into a new level of God-given destiny. I spent a little time on question one because that's the hinge pin for this whole thing. Everything else hangs on that. But let me just address in the time we have remaining this morning. Go Niners. did you feel that? Yeah. Just a wave of, yeah. I got one of my great friends who pastors a church in Seattle just almost under the Space Needle, and he's doing Go Hawks, you know, so I got to counterbalance that in the spirit this morning. Just felt that instruction, you know, come. What do you possess? Here's what I want you to, and I want to encourage you, give you some homework if I can. Go back and read these passages of Scripture again. Meditate on them. Spend your week in some of these passages and allow Holy Spirit to take that teaching to a whole new place. The application. Ephesians chapter 1, we're going to look at Ephesians 1, 17 again, but in the Amplified this time. For I always pray, let's read this together. For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets. Wow, that's good. In the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power, where, in, and for, I'm going to say, you who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, in and for. Who? You. In and for you. In and for me. That power is available to me. Let's look at this verse. I love it in the Message as well. I ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, the God of glory, to make you intelligent. I can use that one. And discerning in knowing him personally, your eyes focused and clear, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of his of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. The old saints used to call it a quickening. You know, you get a little quickening. I could use some boundless energy and immeasurable strength. That would be awesome. It's yours. See, this is why we're using scripture, because this isn't a thus saith Scott. I am telling you the truth, but I'm basing it on what the Word of God says about you. I promise you, some of you this morning, you're living with limitations that you don't fully understand. You've settled for them. I'm not saying that as a criticism. I'm saying because the circumstances have been a challenge. And that constant banging against circumstances that don't seem to want to move, it just causes us to naturally start to give up and to step back and just settle. And that's what I mean when I say, then our faith eyes get lowered to the horizon of our current circumstances. And God wants to come today and just say, I want to lift your eyes. I want you to see a little differently. I want to raise your faith up to the point of where I have your promise. Hebrews chapter 4 says, the promise yet remains. How long did God wait on his people? As long as there were people who didn't want to enter in, God allowed the promise to remain. Because someday, somebody is going to get it. Someday, Joe is going to step into it. Hallelujah. Somebody, someday is going to say, yes, I've got it. I'm going to step into it. The promise remains. Some of you, you don't know how well off you are. You have generational promises that others in your lineage did not receive, but it's spoken over your DNA. And God said, you can have that one too if you want to step into it. I'm not trying to be all flowery and, you know, all of that this morning. I'm just telling you what I feel in my spirit because I'm charged, so charged with this message. I couldn't sleep last night, so this better be worth it. The eyes of your understanding being opened. Oh, God, do it. Do it, God. Open our eyes. You know, Saul thought he was Saul until the scales fell off his eyes and changed his identity. Wow. It included an internal work, but that was almost external, wasn't it? The way he saw defined who he was and what he could do. And suddenly, Saul the persecutor has scales of past understanding fall from his eyes, and he becomes Paul the apostle. And becomes the promoter of what he was just trying to destroy. Wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Wrote this stuff I'm reading to you this morning. Thank you, Paul. Hallelujah. The eyes of your understanding being opened so that you may know. And this knowing is not just a brain cell that comes alive. It's a sense of assurance. There's a confidence. Not an egotistical confidence, a spiritual confidence, like a yes and an amen. Way down deep in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Help us, Holy Spirit, to get our eyes up off of that which is restraining us. Get us into the place. Getting us into the place, Lord, where we grasp, I love that, grasp the immensity of the glorious way of life he has for you. It's better than you know. Better than you know. Years ago, Janet and I were stepping out of one season of ministry into another. And I had a confrontation with the Holy Spirit that was outside of my theology. That's an ecclesiastical way to put it. I could say Holy Spirit nailed me and confronted me with what I didn't even know was scriptural. I understood after. How many of you know a man with an experience is never at the mercy of a man with an argument? And I had the arguments, and I preached some really good messages on how none of that stuff was for today until it happened to me. And I'm like, okay, well, there you go. And Holy Spirit sent me back to my hotel room the night I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. He sent me back to my hotel room and said, now, read 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 like it means what it says and not like you were taught. And I had the scales on my Bible just about, John. I was reading it like, oh, my gosh, it's been here the whole time. I pray with my spirit. I pray with my understanding. That's so obvious. Why didn't I see that? I thought praying in the Spirit just meant loud. Because we all know volume equals spiritual authority. This is why I'm being so loud. I need all that I can get. we stepped into this season of transformation, and I had the most irritating time with God while he was trying to get me to where I could begin to function in that new season. And he had these prophets, five different times that I can recall, through different people, he would come to me, find me in church, and these prophets would come up to me and say, well, bless you, brother. I mean, Janet would get this, you know, amazing mountains and clouds and lightning and thunder, and you were my favorite and all this. And he looks at me and says, and God's telling you he's making the man before he makes the ministry. Five times over the period of about a year. And I told Janet, the next prophet that says that to me, I'm gonna do fivefold ministry and pop him one. I don't want to hear that anymore. Because I didn't like that there had to be that work, you know. But Holy Spirit was doing, he was reorganizing me. I remember one morning sitting in church about four or five rows back, and the people, you know those people, there's a few of them here, the hand raisers and the hallelujah shouters and the ameners and the dancers. Oh, Lord Jesus. We had a lady with a tambourine with the streamers. No rhythm, but a tambourine with streamers. And she walked up and down the platform, just this crazy little... I thought, God, heal her knees so she can stand all the way up. But when she started dancing, she just... And 2,000 people, and nobody's doing anything about this, you know. And I was there to just sort her out and sit down. Poor emotional weakling can't, you know. At least God give her rhythm, you know. One, two, three... But one Sunday morning, our pastor starts preaching about the spirit of religion. And he started describing what a religious spirit looked like, sounded like, thought like. And I'm like, Dadgummit, Janet has called the pastor and asked her to please pray or preach about this, because I was like, everything he said, yeah, I think that way. Yeah. Before the message was, he wasn't probably 30 minutes into the message, and I'm telling you what, I had an epiphany in the spirit. And I realized, I am a crusty, stinking, pharisaical, religious, words I shouldn't say in church. Don't think of them. I want to break the anointing. I just was stunned by what I saw. I saw something I'd never seen before. The scales fell off, and I saw it, and it made me sick. I said, Holy Spirit, I didn't wait for the prayer line. I said, Holy Spirit, get that out of me. And I felt something reach inside of my being. I'm telling you, it was physical, right down to my toes, and rip something out of me. And all of a sudden, Helen was the most beautiful person with her little tambourine and streamers that I ever saw in my life. Hallelujah. You don't understand what a change in perception can do for you. To see something differently. You can look at the same thing right now and 3 seconds later get a revelation. It's like, wow. Yes. Have you ever seen that in Scripture, reading your Bible? Read it for years and years and years, and all of a sudden Holy Spirit does one of those, watch this. Yeah. The Scripture's like a diamond. You just turn it and the light comes and there's another facet of the glory of God buried there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some of you have severely underestimated what's in you, who's in you, probably to say it more appropriately. But I'm telling you, there's promise. There's destiny. Immeasurable. Uncontainable. Undefinable. Love that song we sang at the beginning. That's one of my favorites. Thank you, Nicole. Some of you have unfulfilled purpose, unfulfilled promise, unfulfilled prophetic words. What do? We just leave them on the shelf? Or do we perhaps say, Holy Spirit, give me a level of faith this morning that can cause me to grab a hold of something I let go of because it's still mine? Amen. Well, you don't understand, Scott. You know, I'm not, that season's past. Well, you don't understand my God, because that doesn't matter to him. Yes. the thing that seemed like objections to us, they're not objections to God, because he doesn't see it that way. How awful. If you were to sit here this morning and think of yourself, well, bless the Lord, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. That's nice. That sounds good in church, doesn't it? But that's not what my Bible says about you. If you've received Jesus, you're not just you were a sinner who was saved by grace. That's true. And that not of your own. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You didn't do it for yourself. But you see, the Holy Spirit comes by His Word and says to you, you were a sinner saved by grace, but now you have become the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Transformation. Because of a work that Jesus did. Hallelujah. I'm so glad you put this cross up because it really helps my message. That's the point at which all of this happened. It's not your job to make God's Word come to pass. Sometimes that's why they don't. There's a few scriptural examples I could mention. There's an Ishmael when there should have been an Isaac. There's things that we birth out of our lack of patience and our self-definitions of what it is we want God to do. And we produce things. And I heard somebody say years ago, we need to ask God for crop failure over some of the things we've sowed with our thoughts and our words. Like, no, God, now that I'm in, I didn't mean that at all. Kill that one off by your grace, Lord, and raise up the harvest of righteousness that you have for me. Your role is to mix your faith with the promise. Go back and revisit. I just pray that this morning that Holy Spirit reminds you of some of those dusty promises that seem, matter of fact, the more impossible they seem, the better it's going to be when God brings it to pass. Say amen, somebody. Hallelujah. Wow. Well, let's ask this last question. What is it that you can accomplish? Lord, let's read this. I want to just go to Ephesians 3:20 in the Amplified Translation. Guys, I'm going to skip that other passage for the sake of time. Now to Him who by, in consequence of the action of His power, that is at work within us, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Wow. The Amplified takes the Greek and it adds all of the expressive language so that we get the full effect of what it is God's saying. Can you read this with me? Now to Him who, by and consequence of the action of His power that is at work within me, is able to carry out His purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. So trot out your best dream and take a look at it. It may look marvelous, but God has super abundantly available to you. Hallelujah. Now to Him. Now to Him who is able. He's able. He is able. The prophet Jeremiah, he said it like this, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Hallelujah. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Plans to prosper you. There's that word. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. "For I know," Holy Spirit says to you this morning, "for I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." Amen. Hallelujah. Do you receive it this morning? Amen. Glory to God. Father, I just pray in this moment of time that as you have been doing, you would, but with an exclamation point as we close out this service this morning, Father, that you would come and touch people in this room who may be facing some discouragement. Some, Father, who've lost hope. It's not been an easy time. Lord, we're not making light of that at all. We're saying, we're wanting to hold up the hands of those who are weak this morning and say, don't give up, don't stop, don't quit. You may be just right on the edge of the breakthrough that you've been praying for. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit, you will encourage and minister past the emotions deep into the spirit of your precious people in this room this morning. And Father, I'm asking that in your name, in your name and by your power, you would awaken something in them that would give them fresh hope, that would give them a new perspective, that would awaken that which has died because of the season of difficulty they've been through and the disappointments and the wrongs that have happened and the pain they've walked through. But God, we render all of that now as nothing through the power of your Spirit. And thank you, Father God, for resurrection power to come upon those who need a resurrection of purpose and a resurrection of hope and a resurrection of faith, a resurrection of strength. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord. Just worship him a moment, church. Just focus your attention on him. He's speaking. He's speaking to some of you now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just as we close, I just want to obey the Lord. But over on this side right here, my left, I'm sensing over in this area that there is arthritic type conditions of joints, that kind of difficulty that some of you are dealing with. And I just feel drawn to this section. If you have that, some kind of arthritic condition, a joint condition, it may not be arthritis, but it affects your joints, would you just stand right now so I can just pray for you? We're not going to call you forward or anything. I just want to pray for you where you are. If you have that over in this way, you're not left out, but I just felt drawn by the Spirit. So let's look around. See, Holy Spirit knows his people and he loves you. And he's not here to tease you this morning. He's here to give you breakthrough. He's here to give you healing. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're near one of these people, stretch your hands towards them. Let's release our faith together. Corporate anointing goes way beyond what anybody carries. Father, I thank you right now that you paid on the cross. You paid for healing. You sozoed us where we are saved, healed. And Father, we don't appeal to some tradition or even our own doctrine or theology. We profess this morning a finished work on the cross where you shed your blood so that your precious people could be relieved of physical ailments. By your stripes, we have been healed. And so we come together in agreement now and command these arthritic conditions, pain in the joints, and Father, the joints, some joints that have been frozen and have not worked properly, the tendons and the cartilage and ligaments have been affected. We command those things now in those bodies to come into divine order in Jesus' name. And we speak to every cell that is damaged or disobedient or rebellious. And we say, come now into the divine order of the creative word of God and begin to function as you were created divinely to function. Pain go, healing come in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. Just receive that right now. How many of you are feeling the presence of God touching you? Just sort of wave at me. Thank you, Lord. Let's give God thanks for this morning, church. Hallelujah. 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 Circulatory issues. Issues of blood circulation. It could be high blood pressure. It could be you've got areas where the circulation is not properly functioning and it's creating some numbness or lack of function. If you have that, I want you to just stand where you're at right now. We want to pray for you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Yeah. I'm waiting because I don't want you to come up to me after the service and say, you know, I have that. Were you talking about me? Yeah. I want you to get this. How many of you know healing is good? Hallelujah. Stretch your hands towards those people right now. Father, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Let the body, let the circulatory system come into divine order right now. Let arteries, let veins, let blockages, Lord, dissolve without causing any harm whatsoever. In Jesus' mighty name, we release our faith, Father God. We speak to the heart muscle right now, heart muscle that has been damaged, heart muscle that is not functioning. I speak to the electrical control center of that heart and say, begin to beat properly now. Cause that arrhythmia to stop and come into the divine rhythm with which God created that heart to function. And we say, be healed now in Jesus' name. And let the veins on the arterial walls open and come to full health right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, I feel this. I feel this in my spirit, church. Keep praying. Keep praying. In Jesus' name. I say no to the enemy's assignments of heart attacks in this room. I say no to that in Jesus' name. Bring us into divine health and discipline, God, but divinely right now. Prevent that thing that the enemy wants to bring. No fear. Just do it now. They may never even know about it. Father, I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm going to invite the prayer team to come forward. I want us to stand this morning and close this service with a prayer. that we can pray together, just confessing and thanking God for what he's done. And as I'm praying, you may desire to come and meet with us because an awesome prayer team here. You can come and they can pray with you more perhaps precisely this morning. If you need that ministry, it's here and available for you. But let's pray this prayer as we close and let's receive the revelation of it that God has for us this morning. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your amazing plan of redemption. I thank you that you have given me a unique and anointed destiny. Today, by faith, I receive a fresh impartation and understanding of my identity in you. I thank you, hallelujah, that according to your word, I have received the spirit of wisdom and revelation through Holy Spirit living in me. I gratefully confess that you live in me and that you love me with an unconditional and transformational love. Somebody needs to know that this morning. It's an unconditional and transformational love. Because you love me and live in me, I have the supernatural ability to know who I am in you, to receive and identify the unique gifts and abilities you have put within me, and to understand and accomplish my amazing God-given destiny. Now shout it, amen. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 Isn't God awesome? Yes, he is. If you need prayer, you're welcome to come. Otherwise, we're going to dismiss you, send you out with the blessing of the Lord. God bless you. Amen. New identity. Bless you as you go.
We pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.